First, we would like to wish Rabbi Olshin and Rabbi Schneider a lot of simcha, frolicking in the snow. I hope they enjoy themselves. They told me it's supposed to be 2 feet or 1 meter. And it could be they also engage in hyperbole over there. Actually, I have a brother-in-law who's a professor of theoretical physics. He's retired, but he was once a weatherman in New York City, and we used to listen to his weather forecast just to essentially calibrate what his percentages were. And he was wrong 85% of the time. It's my sister's husband. So he and I were also jockeying during those years, and since then we've learned how to get along with each other since he left the weather forecasting situation. I'm not as good as many of the rabbis who preceded me, who are able to speak about Snoopy, Snoopy, a dog, and Matrix, and Dr. Dreyakop. I'm not into any of that. I'll be quite honest, I don't know what they're talking about. But I want to begin, and basically I want to discuss Tefillah B'Tzibur and its importance. Many people actually, as mentioned to me earlier, they actually, sometimes on Shabbos morning, instead of going to the Beis Medrash, they go to the Beis HaMatris. Well-known Beis Medrash. And very comfortable Beis Medrash. Incredibly so. And so we would like to disabuse them of that erroneous notion and try to more or less underscore the enormity, significance, and value of davening B'Tzibur. I was zoche to have parents, aleihem hashalom, who were very makpid on tefillah B'Tzibur. That is to say, my father, zechen levracha, my mother was less makpid on tefillah B'Tzibur. And I've been davening B'Tzibur since I'm 5 years old. At 5 years old, my father started taking us, myself and my brothers, to minyan on an ongoing basis. And I would say in the last several decades, I just recently turned 21, even though I have a son who's almost 40. That's quite an accomplishment. So in the last several decades, I have certainly missed a number of minyanin, and I can honestly say only Srachmana Patre, but you probably could count them on more than one hand, the number of minyanim that I've missed. I'm very makan on tefillah B'Tzibur, and I mentioned, I don't say it by way of braggadocio, which happens to be a city in Arkansas. It's also a word in the Oxford Dictionary. But I don't say it by way of braggadocio, but simply I'm makvin on tefillah B'Tzibur. My father Hashem left me at Tzavo, and I take it very seriously. And I, a number of times when I was an Avel, Achmanul Islam, for both my mother and father, I always found myself on planes. I often seem to be on planes. Matter of fact, in Chutzlaretz, the alumni of Torah Shraga constantly tell me, where do you live? So they came to the Maskana, I live in Chutzlaretz, and once in a while I travel to Eretz Yisrael. Sheker v'chazov. That is an egregious error. I tried to explain it to them in such tones, and then right away they recoiled. Anyway, so a number of times I was on a plane, and going to Chicago actually once, and the plane left early enough, no problem with tefillah B'Tzibur. It was approximately 10:30 in the morning, and then the plane started circling O'Hare Airport for 3 hours. In the winter, I started getting nervous, and at that point, I called the stewardess and asked her the following. Could you please speak to the either pilot or co-pilot, and I'm a man of the cloth, and I need a ritual quorum, because at that time I was saying doxology, Kaddish, for one of my parents. I need a ritual quorum of Jews. First she asked me, what is a man of the cloth? Then she asked me, what is the doxology? Then she asked me, I forgot to bring my Oxford Dictionary. At that time, it was before, shall we say, Google heads and what have you. In a few short seconds, the co-pilot appeared on the scene and asked me, what exactly is the nature of my ailment? Not exactly in such language. I'm simply paraphrasing it. Anyway, and I explained to him that one of my parents passed away, and we have a practice, religious, observant Jews, to say Kaddish, and I need a quorum of 10 Jews in order to do so. He goes back to the cockpit and promptly announces the following. I was embarrassed beyond belief. He promptly announces, "We are sorry and we lament the passing, the demise of passenger X." He even mentioned my name, which was even more embarrassing. And he's a man of the cloth, some sort of a reverend. That's the impression that he had. And he needs a quorum, 10 Jews, in order to say daxalages. He couldn't even pronounce the word, but he tried to get it. And so, before I know it, more than 10 people appeared around me, men and women. I had forgotten to indicate males are required. I was now in a predicament. Most of these males and or women were not observant Jews. There actually were two or three observant Jewish businessmen, people on the plane going to Chicago. So I didn't know exactly how I was going to extricate myself from this situation, but I proceeded then to first lecture about what we're about to do. In the course of the lecture, three or four women simply left. That was my idea, to essentially bore them to death where they would leave, and Baruch Hashem they did. Until I had actually about 10 males. I told them to cover their heads with some sort of a skull cap, and the most fascinating thing emerged. There were those who had, this one took a pillow over his head, this one took a blanket over his head, different types of head coverings that were very fascinating in and of themselves. And then I proceeded to, shall we say, go ahead and daven in order to say Kaddish. Now, you probably will question the nature of that minyan. I assume you will question the nature of that minyan that I had. And later on, when I came back to Eretz Yisrael, I told the Harav Nevinsol Shlita what happened. And so he looks at me and responds in the following way. Miyad Bellevue. I should go to Bellevue. So I said, how does this Rabbi Nevinsol know about Bellevue? I said, is it Bellevue? Bellevue Hospital. You should immediately enroll in Bellevue Hospital. Maybe they might be able to handle your situation. You've heard of Bellevue Hospital? Perhaps some of you? Of course, I was referring to the psychiatric ward, where I should immediately place myself there for observation and the like. Why did you do all these crazy things, he basically told me. I said, Harav, I needed a minion. What was I supposed to do? Anyway, this story happened not once, not twice, not three times, four times on planes. So I have a chazokah, Shor HaMuad, Teskas Nachin, as far as this issue, but I'm just trying to tell you how makbid I am on Tefillah B'Tzibur. Okay, now coming back to what I'd like to talk about. That was my way of Akdamah, so I shouldn't completely put you to sleep. My father, Shalom, was very into a very famous piyut. Only the Sfaradim here will know this piyut. And if they don't know it, we may have to do something. Shlomo Ibn Gabirol has a piyut called Keter Malchut. When did the Sfaradim say it? Elliot? We have a few others here. I shouldn't have cited you by name. He's a very outstanding young man. Baruch Hashem. Outstanding. When the...
Musaf.
Musaf when? Musaf at Shabbat. You say Keter Malchut? I'm not familiar with any Sephardic community that does that. But perhaps there may be. I could be wrong. Leil Yom HaKippurim. On Yom Kippur night. You heard of Kippurim? Unquestionably. Hayesh kol kama Sephardim Tohorim? Yes, there are a few Sephardim Tohorim over here. On Kippurim night. Oh, where is he? He's not here. Rav Shamula. Shalita. Hashem should bless him. They say Keter Malchut. There's the following line in Keter Malchut. The truth is I need for this zikha about 5 hours. I see I don't have it, but I'll... What can I do? Listen to this language. Elokai. My God. Im avoni mitzol gadol. If my sins... My transgressions are absolutely overwhelming, that I cannot bear them. Mata said l'shimcha gadol. What are you going to do for your great name? Namely, I am essentially, what am I doing? By my averot, I am being mechal l'shem shamayim. I'm desecrating, profaning the name of God. V'im lo achil l'rachamecha. And if I don't hope for your mercy, for your compassion, mi achus alai chutz mimcha, who's going to have rachmanos on me except for you? L'chei. In Tiktolani, if you kill me, l'cha yachel. I am still hoping for your compassion. V'im tevakesh la'avoni, and if you pursue me because of my transgressions, evrach nimcha elecha. I will run away from you to you. V'et kaseh machamoscha, and I'll cover myself up, I'll envelop myself because of you. Where? B'tzilecha, in your shade, in your shadow. What in heaven's name is going on here? Did you ever see an ox that was a moron? Here you have an oxymoron. What does this mean? Ebrach mimcha eilecha. I will escape from you to you. So my father, Shalom, was very into this. I didn't know what he's talking about. I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. My father used to study Ketan Malchut with us. Years later, now let's project a little bit into the shiur of Harav Soloveitchik, Zeche Tzadik Lebrachu. The Rav was very fond of quoting a Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos in Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam discusses why don't we say hello in Rosh Hashanah? The very famous Rambam. What does the Gemara say? Why don't we say hello in Rosh Hashanah? Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Gemara in Erechin. Namely, what's the reason why we don't say hello Rosh Hashanah? Because Sifrei Chayim, Mesivim Esim, Suchim Rufanav, Atim Ayim Shira. The book of the life and dead are open before Hashem. We're being judged. And you're singing. Once, actually, I was in traffic court in the Bronx, Olav HaShalom, for a traffic violation. So what did I do? I have two chaverim who are lawyers. They claimed I was over the line. That is to say, the back segment of my car was approximately, I think, maybe 5-6 inches over the line. What colors do they have over there in New York these days? The legal section is gray, and the illegal part is
yellow,
something along those lines. And so, I brought two lawyers with me, two of my chaverim who are lawyers, to court. Of course, it's a small, not a massive case, massive federal crime. And we took pictures, and I came to the court. There's a long lineup, and the judge, who looks like he had as much sleep as I had last night, essentially, he has that look on his face of someone who is bored to tears, in exasperation of all the cases that are before him. And basically, one case after the next, and every time someone comes before him, they present their case in about 2 or 3 minutes, and his response bangs with the gavel, guilty as charged. Next case, guilty as charged. After 4 or 5 such cases, I said to myself, no one even had a chance to present their arguments. What is the nature of this kangaroo court? I said, don't worry, when I get there, I will demonstrate what a Bronxite is. I come before the judge with my two lawyer friends and all my dossier, documentation, photographs. So right away, I begin to present my case. And after about a minute, he says, you're very lengthy-winded. Lengthy winded means I talk a lot. I barely started. Luckily, he doesn't come to my shiurim. After about 2.5 minutes, I indicate to him that I feel I'm not guilty. I have photographs. I have two lawyers. He looks at me. Do you know how much this is going to cost you? I said, nada. That's what I said in Spanish. Nothing. Guilty as charged. That was his response. So I wanted to say, what kind of a court is this? A kangaroo court. Though my lawyer friend stepped on my foot before I had a chance to open up my mouth, because he knew I was capable of doing that. I certainly am. And otherwise I would have been guilty of contempt of court and who knows what else. And I ended up guilty as charged and had to pay the fine, whatever it was, I recall. And I, in my life, was Arayom Azeh. I am still reeling from that kangaroo court. And that quote-unquote besotted and bewigged judge, even though he was not besotted or bewigged, he just was lacking in the gray area upstairs. But somebody was missing the cranial area. Whatever the case is, there's a Rambam. I need about 7 hours for the shmooze. I've not done anything. There's a Rambam who explains why I don't say Hallel Rosh Hashanah. So that's why I was not singing in the court. I was, shall we say, quite frustrated and disconsolate, full of melancholia. I was not in any mood to sing. The Rambam says, you know why we don't say Hallel? V'fi she'em yimei avoda v'hachno v'fachad u'mora me'ashem. Days of awe and days of fear and days of dread. Then the Rambam has three words. U'mivrach u'manos eivav. We escape and run to him. So I said to myself, oh, the Rambam must be related to the Keter Malchut guy, to that Ibn Gabiro fella. It's exactly the same idea. What in heaven's name is going on here? And I've been troubled by this for years already, since I was a little kid. I came to Rabbi Soloveitchik Shir. After approximately 2 weeks, I understood the Rambam. I understood Ibn Gabiro. When you were in Rabbi Soloveitchik Shir, it was essentially a Shir that was full of D-R-E-A-D. Dread! You were in Meira. You were in Pacha. You had, how shall we describe it? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the Rabbis Tamei Chachamim. You are literally Mora Rabbach Kemora Shamayim, in fear of the Rav. And the fear expressed itself in many different ways. The moment you came into the Shir, you began to quake and shake. Why? He might call on you to read the Gemara. That would be not a good thing. Because no matter how much you prepared, it didn't make a difference. And I prepared hours and hours and hours. It was a tkufa I was called on for 6 months. And every single day, I would dread coming to the Shir. And once I decided maybe I'll come a little bit late, and so the Rabbi asked, where is David? So my chavrusa said, he's sick. I was. Not physiologically, but the anxiety and the stress and everything else. Of course, I appeared 2 minutes later after the Rav called the attendants and called somebody else. And I thought I'd sneak into my seat. And the Rav said, oh, here you are. All right? You don't have to read the Gemara. I have the korban. I have the sacrifice. And I was under extreme pressure for 6 months. And then after 6 months, the Rav said, I've had enough of you. All right, let us have the sheet of paper. Let me see who else is here. And he says, who is Avishai? So I thought to myself, I said to myself, I can't believe this. It's like, it's not real. It's fantasy hour. It's not happening. So my chavrusa, who would have been called, was Hashib and Wayu today. He said, that's him. Pointing out to me, he didn't want to be called. Because usually when the Rav called on someone to read the Gemara, you know what everyone would do? They would quickly, everyone would be tying their shoelaces, going under the table. The whole shir, with the exception of a few daily elam that didn't have to worry about that. And I sat right in front of the Rav, psychologically. I thought they would be sit in front of him, no problem at all. But I still went under the seat, don't worry. I also went to tie my shoelaces. Everyone was doing kerim. It was like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur on an ongoing basis. And so I said, all right, Avishai, you read the Gemara. I said to myself, doesn't the Rav know that I'm the same guy, Avishai, David, I have? That's my first name, that's my last name. 3 days into the reading of the Gemara, the Rav says to me, in the middle of reading, takes off his glasses, looks at me, what is your name, David or Avishai? And that was the end. And of course, at that point, I had a Sudas Mitzvah, and I said, Bol Shatani! Me'on Shol Shol Zeh. Why am I saying all this? After being several years in Rav Soloveitchik Shir, I understood Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabiro, and I understood the Rambam as well. Namely, Avoida V'Hakno U'Pachad U'Meira Poshet Fear. I love the Shurim. The Shurim were, I don't know how to describe it, phantasmagoric. You would see the building going up. The Rav would ask a whole series of kashas in the public shurim, not in the shurim that he said on a daily basis. There he would grind out the yardage, as I described last night. They grind exceedingly small. well-known short story that no one in this room has read. But anyway, as much as I wanted to escape Rav Soloveitchik, I wanted to go and surge forth. Moshchini acharecha merutza, which essentially is a Rambam. The Rambam Yosei Di HaTorah. The Rambam describes that a person sees the world. My father Shlomo used to take me every Shabbos to the 1 week to the Bronx Zoo, so I could see all the denizens. I didn't have a problem doing it. But b'chazam, we went to the zoo. And then 1 week to Botanical Gardens to examine all the flora and fauna. So you see the majesty of the world. You come to a hakara of Hashem Echad Shmor. There's a God in the world. But at the same time, the Rambam says, the moment you realize there's a God in the world, you recoil. Why? Because you're in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. There's nothing more awesome than that. So you have a dialectical tension of what? Yira and Ava. The first reaction, the majesty of the universe, is Ava Hashem. But that leads to Yira. That's how I felt in the presence of Rav Soloveitchik. That's the Pshat in Ibn Gabirol, Shlomo Ibn Gabirol, and the Pshat in the Rambam that I'm referring to. Namely, there's this constant back and forth. The years that I spent in Rav Soloveitchik's shiur were the most exciting years of my life. I look forward to the shiur at the same time I used to have stomach attacks, anxiety, stress, but it was gebaldik. Gan Eden atachto. That's Pshat HaRambam. You understand what I'm saying? So why don't we say Hallel B'Yom HaDin? The answer is because on the one hand, days of Pachad, but the other hand, I realize my only hope lies in connecting to Hashem Yisbarach. Okay, now we can actually begin the shiur. Or begin the shiur. This time a little hakdama, just to keep your attention. I don't have much time. That's the problem. In my shul, they went ahead and put the clocks on the left side, on the right side, and in front, so the rabbi could see exactly what time it is. So you shouldn't go beyond the parameters. But the rabbi often takes his glasses off. Does not see any of the clocks. I just want to underscore, I was going to say a whole shtickle tale, but that was only because Rabbi Reichman. But he's not here, so I have to say the shtickle tale. Based on a Bahag, based on a Ramban, I have a whole shtickle tale that I spent till 4 o'clock in the morning preparing. But since Rabbi Reichman is not here, I don't have to be concerned about it. What I want to talk about is what tefillah means to me and why to me tefillah b'tzibur is so critical. I've always thought, and my Rabbeim expressed this idea many, many times. Where is a person holding the Avodas Hashem? How do you measure it? How do you calibrate it? So one would think you calibrate it by the number of daplim that a person learned, by one's intellectual acuity, by, shall we say, how much time one spends in the base, in the base medrash, as opposed to the base hamatris. The answer is no. The way you measure it is by a person's tefillah. That is the real measurement, the real barometer, where a person is holding the Avodas Hashem. The way a person davens, the way a person presents himself to Ribbono Shel Olam, v'ani tefillah. David HaMelech says, I'm a hefter of tefillah. David HaMelech, the name is Miras Yisrael, the one that Baruch HaKodesh wrote Sefer Tehillim. If you want to know where you're holding, take a look how you daven. And take a look where you daven. And take a look how seriously you take davening. A person who davens, I was zecher to grow up in a family, my mother and father daven bidmo shlish, never went to yeshiva day in their lives, and they daven with tears. My father used to daven, shachris was an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes. There are shuls that I go to in the United States, I won't mention which cities. Wow! They call it the matzah minyan. 18 minutes, except it's less than 18 minutes. And Kriyas HaTorah, 18 minutes. My father, every word would be enunciated. Every word would be said. If we can't daven, and we don't daven properly, and we don't appreciate the value of davening b'tzibur, And on Shabbos morning, we decide to go ahead and continue and lie in the arms of Morpheus, as opposed to going to the Beis Medrash. Where are we? Ayeka! Where are we in Avodas Hashem? This morning, I went looking. I'm not good at stories. Not at all. But they told me I have to tell a story. I have my own stories. But one story I saw, and I remember the story, I heard it myself from Avshalom Shadron, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When I was in Eretz Yisrael in 71-72, every Friday night, I used to go to hear Avshalom Shadron, the Maggid of Yerushalayim. There's actually a whole series of books called The Maggid. Anybody ever heard of them? You know what a Maggid is? How do you translate Maggid? Someone who is a
storyteller,
thank you. And Avshalom Shadron, one week he spoke in Yiddish, in Zecher Moshe, and one week in Hebrew. And I used to hear my brothers and I, Shlita, 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 we used to go here, Avshalom Shadron, every Friday night. And I remember one or two of the things that he said. Most of it, Harav Yudin Shlita, I don't remember. I apologize to you. My memory is not so good. But I went looking at the Maggid books just before, and I found one story that he said over, and I want to say it over to you. It's actually a mashal of Chafetz Chaim. What I do remember very well is that the place was jam-packed to the rafters. Hundreds of people used to come, and there were these little Yushalmis, little chaps and chaps, Chayas HaKedesh, stress the Chayas more than the Kedesh. They were hanging from the rafters. I'm not exaggerating. And after he would finish, they would sing, that's how he used to talk. And they would imitate him. He was very excited. Tremendous speaker. So he told over from the Chafetz Chaim the following mashal. I found it in one of the Maggid books. There aren't too many Maggid books here. We have to be mashalim. But I prefer the Kuntz HaTzvekes and the Shef Shmeitzer. Whatever the case is, the Chafetz Chaim tells of the, and the way Avshalom Shadron presented it, the following mashal. There was a wealthy businessman, his name was Azerach. And one morning he got a telephone call from Rav Baruch. So Rav Zerach said to him, "How are you, Rav Baruch?" "I'm fine, Baruch Hashem." "Fine. How's your family, Rav Zerach?" "Fine, Baruch Hashem." "And yours?" "Very well, Baruch Hashem. Thank you for asking. How's your business, Rav Zerach?" Continued Rav Baruch. He was hesitating to get to the point of the call, obviously. "Fine, fine," said Rav Zerach impatiently. "I know you called me for something. I'm busy today. I'd like to help you. What can I do for you?" "Tell you the truth," said Rav Baruch, "I'm marrying off a daughter. I'm short of funds. I need 300 rubles for a few months. By then, I'll pay you back." "Of course, Rav Zerach. Mazel tov. Hashem should bless you. When do you want to pick up the money?" "12:00 noon. "Perfect. I'll be here for you," said Rav Zerach. They both hung up. 12 o'clock. Rav Zerach is sitting in his office. 12:15, 12:30, 1:30, 2 o'clock. No Rav Baruch. He doesn't appear on the scene. And he left for the day, asked his secretary, "Anybody came?" "No." Next morning the phone rings. Again, early in the morning. "Rav Zerach, it's me, Rav Baruch. How are you, Rav Zerach?" "I'm fine, Baruch Hashem." "What about you? Where were you yesterday?" Rav Baruch interrupts. "Tell me, Rav Zerach, how's your family?" "Fine," came the quick reply. "But Rav Baruch, yesterday, I was supposed to meet you. How's your business, Rav Zerach?" "Just a minute, Rav Baruch. I waited for you yesterday. What happened?" "Oh, something unexpected came up. I couldn't get to the office. But don't worry, I'll be there today. Wait for me at 12. Mazel tov. Have a lot of atzlach and bracha. 12 o'clock, I'll be there." 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1:30, 2 o'clock. No Rav Baruch. What a chutzpanik this guy is. Chutzpan shen kamo, said Rav Zerach to himself. He went home. Again, the secretary tells him, "Did he come during the day?" "Zilch." Next morning at 9 o'clock. "Good morning, Rav Zerach. How are you, Rav Zerach? How's your business? How's your family?" Same scenario. He apologizes. "I was supposed to be there the day before. Yesterday." Third day in a row. No Rav Baruch. Same agreement. Next morning the phone rings. Rav Zerach picks up the phone and says, "Baruch, are you trying to make a fool out of me? 3 days in a row you call? 3 days in a row I prepared money? You don't show up? Are you playing games with me? I have other things to do with my time. You chutzpahnik! Ha! Hung the phone up. Says the Chafetz Chaim, and I quote from Avshalom Shadron, from the Maggid, Rabbi Kron Shlita, aren't many of us like Rabbi Baruch? Every morning in our Abba Rabba we say, to Hashem, you loved us. Abba Rabba, Avtanu Hashem Elokeinu. Chem lo gedele b'serech amalto aleinu. We ask our Father, our King. So Hashem says, okay, what can I do for you? What are your desires? What would you like? Tell me what you want. You want a new home? You want good children? You want more customers? You want to be more successful in business? We continue. The same will be no the Havin or the Haskil. Hashem, help us understand the Torah. Help us become more connected to a black Gemara. Help us use our Siddurim more wisely, more judiciously. Illumine our eyes. So, person davens in such a heartfelt fashion, Hashem responds to them right away. Hashem tells the Malachim, fill up their barrels with intelligence, with money. Malachim are rushing to be on time. They know Shacharis will soon be over. And what will we do? Right away we're going to run to the Beis HaMedrash. Not to the Beis HaMattress. Beis HaMedrash. We close the Siddur, we move our tefillin. The Malachim are ready, Hashem is ready. We rush right by them. We just run out to busy ourselves with Wi-Fi, with our iPhones, with our smartphones. As I've said many times, the Gemara says, "Asher mishabala kam betalmud miyado." Happy are those who come after Me'ev Yasim Shana, and they have the entire Talmud in their hands, and we'll be able to say, "Asher mishabala kam the iPhone biyadi, the smartphone biyadi, the Dr. Dreyakov biyadi, the Matrix biyadi, the Snoopy dog biyadi." Baruch Hashem, we'll have what to show. So the Malachim say, maybe he had pressing business matters. Maybe he had an appointment, Kibbutz Avraham, had to go to a bris, was a Sfardi, has to attend every Sfardi bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah in the world. No doubt during lunch hour he'll come back, everything will be fine. Lunch hour, I had to order food, because the food in the yeshiva left a lot to be desired, to quote Harav Goldschmidt Shlita. No, Baruch Hashem, a nice meal. We have it together with my chums, with all my, shall we say, good chaberim. We sit up 2 or 3 hours, and then I'm tired. Now's the time for siesta at 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, maybe night seder. But at night seder, of course, I have to go see Snoopy Adol. Haven't seen it. Third time, Chazorah. Hafochmo, Hafochmo, the Kulama. It's all there. No. Says Hashem Shadron Zatzal, don't we look a little bit foolish? Don't we sound a little bit foolish? All those tefillos. Tefillah B'tzibur is a reflection of my connection to Hashem Yisbarach. What I really wanted to say Shir about was a Bahak. But I'm not doing that because Avarechim is not here. So therefore, even though Rashi says in Brachis, Oznayim Bakayisam, the walls have ears, and generally I speak to walls quite often. Baruch Hashem. I have a lot of experience in the yeshiva for many years. And here and there, I get a reaction. The walls react. You know how? You seem to be perplexed. How do the walls react? The walls soak in the Divrei Torah, that the Rabbanim, especially our Rav Reichman Shlita, now the walls soak in. Shikach, Daddy. Shikach, go. Yes, you're a bit late. Okay, we Baruch Hashem. But we don't say over here, Abbas Manu, Bata Kabano, no problem. Anyway, you really want to be involved in Avodas Hashem, the way to do so is number one to be makbid on your tefillah, be makbid on your davening. That's a real reflection of where you're holding. That's what Chazon Ish writes in one of his letters. And to the extent that a person is able to daven on an ongoing basis, to connect to Hashem Yisbarach, and especially to daven with Tzibur, I want to tell you, I was zeichet to daven. What is the nature of their ailment? Well, there are so many that it's impossible to lefaret. Anyway, whatever the case is, I was zeichet to daven years and years ago, decades ago, with Bali Tzvila, Balabatim, engineers, doctors, lawyers, they daven for the ailment, the Sheikh Tzibur. They daven b'dmo shlish, with tears. They felt their entire lives were dependent on Hashem Yisbarach. I just want to mention one last thing. The famous Rambam and Ramban is tefillah min haTorah or tefillah d'Rabbanan. You know, the sheet of the Rambam is that tefillah is min haTorah. The Ramban says tefillah is d'Rabbanan, based on Gemaras, based on many, many rayas. Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, was very fond of saying, there's no machlokes, because the issue is the following. Tefillah d'Araisa, according to the Rambam, is based on a very simple existential phenomena. We are insecure. It's good, you know some Hebrew. Baruch Hashem, you've made progress. He didn't get to Arba yet. Anyway, so the Rambam Pshit is existentially, we're insecure. Our lives are insecure. Take a look at what's happening in the world. Anti-Semitism that we're being subjected to, Rahman al-Islam. The plight of the Jew is not simple. I don't have to tell you that. It's obvious to all of us. We need Ribbono Shel Olam. Without him, I have no security. So that's the Rambam Shita. Because of that existential insecurity, tefillah is min haTorah. The Ramban says no, based on Psukim, Mevalachim Malach Perches. There, tefillah d'Araisa, which the Ramban holds based Torah, there's a different tefillah d'Araisa, but in general tefillah d'Rabbanan, because tefillah essentially relates to the Psukim that I mentioned over there, catastrophic events, famine, war, Rachmanu Litzlan, whatever the case is. That's how the Rav said, there's no machlokes the Ram, the Ramban. The question is what you focus on. Are you focusing on catastrophic physical issues, or is it an existential issue that's at stake? Let me tell you, those who are able to daven, those who connect to Avodas Hashem, and connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and do so primarily to Tefillah B'Tzibur, because Tefillah B'Tzibur is very powerful. Especially if you daven in a strong Beis Medrash. Often we daven in Batei Medrash where they mekayim the pasuk v'hameisim yehallelu kol. The dead cannot praise Hashem. But I don't daven that Beis Medrash. Once a week I do. But I daven the Beis Medrash where Baruch Hashem, I try to be mechanic people to daven the kol, as the Ramban writes at the end of Pashas Bei, and as the Zohar writes, and many poskim speak about that. I want to literally feel kosmosai tamar Hashem mikolocha. I just want to be mechazik the idea, the significance and the importance of davening b'tzibur, whether it's during the week, whether it's on Shabbos. Trust me, if you grow in tefillah, and you continue to grow in tefillah, and appreciate that Hashem Yisbarach is really the only source of bitachon that we possibly can have, and as the Rizkarov writes, Kavei al Hashem chazak, Yamei tzibach v'kavei al Hashem, Rav Gordon Shlita, I discussed with Rav Gordon Shlita, Rav Kivega, we spoke about, based on the pasuk Gemara Sanhedrin, Zaveach teidi chabdonini, v'som derach avena v'yesh alokim. If one experiences one Yeshua, one can actually hope for another Yeshua. Rizkov has a similar pshat by Kavei al Hashem. If a person has bitachon Hashem Yisbarach, chazak, v'yam mitzibecha, your bitachon is just going to get stronger. Bitachon constantly, your emuna, you get stronger and stronger. That's why you're learning in yeshiva, the ideas to be mechazik, in these areas of emuna, of bitachon, of Talmud Torah, and especially of tefillah, that really is a reflection of where I am in terms of Avodas Hashem. Alvai, we all should be mischazik when it comes to our own personal tefillah and davening b'tzibur, to try to be medaktik as much as we can to daven b'tzibur. And trust me, based on my own experience, your connection to Hashem Yisbarach will just become stronger and stronger. And there's an inextricable connection between Torah, Talmud Torah, and tefillah. The two are literally bound up one with the other unbelievably. So Be'ez Hashem, all you should become outstanding B'nai Torah, outstanding of the Hashem, but part of it is not just being makban and davening, but being makban and davening with Tzibur to the fullest extent that you possibly can.